Blog Talk Radio.
You miss me? I miss all of y'all. Hey. All y'all girls standing together like that. Keep hey. Shaking.
Coach Terrence Wood in the Before You Go Pro locker room, and we are humming once again. We've got some great content, a great guest coming on to the show tonight. He is actually the father of a dear friend of mine and former teammate at the University of Colorado, and then he went on to the University of Washington, quarterback Taylor Barton. And his father, Greg Barton, is who we have on the show tonight. They have formed an amazing group with the Barton Academy, Football Academy. They're helping so many quarterbacks and skill position guys in the Northwest, and now they're spreading their wings out across the country. Guys like Aaron Rodgers, Carson Palmer, Kyle Orton have all come through and helped out the Barton Football Academy and been trained by the Barton family. So I think we have Mr. Greg Barton already on the line. Let's see if we can get him on here. Hello, Greg. Can you hear me?
I sure can. How you doing?
Great, great. And we are so excited to have you on tonight. I know this is your first time in the locker room, and we've got a bunch of kids and parents listening in, and we really appreciate your time.
My pleasure.
Perfect. So let's get started, because we roughly have about 30 or 40 minutes, and I want to get to as many questions as possible. Where are you originally from, Greg?
Long Beach, California.
Oh, okay, California guy. And growing up and you were playing different sports, did you know that football was the sport for you at a young age, or was it something that kind of just evolved in your life?
Well, you know, I was for, you know, in a family that had some issues and with drinking and stuff like that. And you know, and I was a young kid, and I don't know what it was, but when I did everything everyone else does. I played Little League Baseball, youth football and youth basketball. But at a very young age, I loved Long Beach, California, but, you know, I wanted to get into a better situation just with my own life.
Yeah.
I was thinking that way when I was 8 and 9 and 10, you know, and I was a pretty good student, not great, but pretty good. But with Long Beach having the good weather, and I was very lucky. I got to know a lot of the kids who were young, like myself, who were going to end up going to Poly, Long Beach Poly, and Earl McCullough. I don't know if you remember that name. He ran in the world record when the 4x4 with O.J. Simpson, all that at SC, and he was a first round draft choice by the Lions. Actually, when I went that year, and Gene Washington, who was a quarterback at Stanford, and on and on and on, just great, great athletes. And we were all together when we were 9 and 10, so I got very good just by competing when I was young, just with those kind of kids.
Definitely. And when you were competing with those kids and once you got off into high school, when did it dawn on you that you were talented enough to not only compete but maybe even possibly play at the college level?
Well, I'd say I was at Milliken High School, and we had a good program. It wasn't the best. It was in the middle of the pack in the league, and it wasn't really until my senior year that I put it all together. And you know, and I had all the big schools, SC, UCLA's, all that, you know, offering me scholarships, and those were the days where, as a freshman, you go in, play a freshman program. And so, like, if I would have went to UCLA, then we would play, like, four games against other schools like USC or whatever with the freshmen. And I qualified, and I was offered by a lot of these schools, but I just couldn't see myself going four games, and that's it. And so I had decided to go to Long Beach City College, And it was the greatest thing I ever did. We won the Junior Rose Bowl that my freshman year, and that's no longer held anymore, but that was huge back then. And we were the national champions, and I made All-American, and now it was just schools all over the country were offering me, and it was just a great thing. But I was very blessed to be with great, great teammates. And I mentioned Earl McCullough, who later went to SC. He was on that team too, and he qualified for high school. So I had a great opportunity to play with great coaches in junior college, and then you moved on to University of Tulsa, and I went there only because, believe this or not, I had unlimited visits in those years, and I went all over the country. Visiting colleges, and I was actually the first junior college player ever offered by Notre Dame, and I was pretty much sure I was going to either UCLA, SC, or Notre Dame. Then I started looking at University of Tulsa, and in those years they were leading the country in passing and total offense, and their quarterbacks were setting all the NCAA records. And so, you know, I wanted to go to the NFL, and so I wanted every opportunity I could get. So I went there, and probably not the smartest thing I did in terms of passing up so many of the other schools, but it worked out fine for me, and then I ended up being with Detroit.
Yeah, I mean, with schools like Notre Dame and SC recruiting you, did your family or any of your friends have some question marks about why you were choosing Tulsa?
Yeah, everybody did because, you know, most people hadn't heard that much about Tulsa, but the two years prior to me going in there, they led the NCAA in passing total offense. And I was looking that we didn't have much money in our family, so number one, I had to get a scholarship, and number two, I wanted to go somewhere where I could, you know, almost, there's no guarantees going to the NFL, you know that, but give me the best opportunity, and just the fact that we had, you know, we threw the ball so well at that place, the NFL teams, that was the time where they were starting to really throw the ball a lot in the NFL then, So it worked out for me. But like I said, looking back, well, it was kind of funny how I picked the Tulsa over those schools, but I did, and it worked for me.
Great stuff. Now, let's dial back a little bit, Greg, because you mentioned when you were younger, maybe the family support wasn't the best. Did you have anybody, whether it was a coach or a friend or anybody that was really supporting you or mentoring you to keep you on the right track?
I'll tell you the greatest thing that ever happened to me, and I'll bet you have never heard of this before. Like going in my senior year in high school, I liked our head coach, but we didn't have work ethic there at Milliken. not like what I wanted, but we didn't have as a family, the means to move out of where we live to go to another high school. And so Lakewood High School was really good. And the head coach there had coached college football, and then he came in and he turned the program around. And I'll never forget this. I walked 3 miles to his school, and I asked him, I told him, I said, Coach, I like my coach at Millikan, but we don't have work ethic like you guys do. I'm going to ask you a dumb question, but hopefully you'll respect me for it. I'd like to come over here and work out with your team. And he said, so you want to transfer over here? And I said, I'd love to, but I can't. We don't have the means to make that happen. And I'll never forget it. He said, you can do it. And all summer long, if I didn't have baseball going on, I was over there. And I probably spent 6 hours a day over there. And it was the best thing I ever did. And the only bad thing, we beat them when I was a junior. And then in our senior year, I had the best game of my life, and we beat them. And I remember standing on the sidelines, and I was almost embarrassed by it because I'm thinking, this man helped make me what I am right now, and now we just knocked him out of the playoffs. And I remember going over, and I was almost crying, and I said, Coach, I'm really embarrassed by this. And he said, hey, here's what I want you to do. He said, when you get drafted in the NFL someday, you give me a call and you tell me. That's all I care.
Wow. And did you follow through?
Yes, I did.
Wow, that's an amazing
story. His name was John Ford. And he was just a great coach. But, I mean, how many coaches around the country would do that for a kid who's playing on a team at a high school that's their big rivalry? That just told me how much he just loved football and loved kids.
Definitely. He sounds like a fabulous man. He's probably kicking himself for not trying to rally up the money to get you in the school. That's a great story, Greg.
Okay, today's times, it would have happened.
Yeah, easily, real quick. Wow, that's a cool one. I like that story. So you ended up having a great career over at Tulsa, and then you got drafted by the Detroit Lions, and it was a dream fulfilled. Was it everything you thought it was when you got to the NFL?
Yeah, because, first of all, I'm a real student of the game. And Joe Schmidt was their head coach, and he's in the Hall of Fame. And we had so many guys, Lynn Barney, Charlie Sanders, Earl McCullough, it goes on and on. Dick LeBeau was one of our corners, and he was in about his ninth year in the NFL then, out of Ohio State. And now, what's he been in coaching in the NFL for, 40 years?
Yeah, I mean, he could be a Hall of Famer player and coach.
Yeah. Well, he's in the Hall of Fame.
But as a coach.
Yes, definitely. I mean, no question. I don't know if anybody – there's been a few guys who coached as many years as him maybe, but he's pretty famous right now for how many years he's been in the NFL.
Definitely. So talk to me a little bit about Taylor growing up. For those listening, Greg has a son named Taylor Barton, and once again, they're doing great stuff with their football academy, training a lot of great quarterbacks. Talk to me about Taylor's upbringing. Did you know that you had something special with Taylor when he was a young boy?
I've been so blessed in my life. Before Taylor came around, I've been working with youth kids for a long, long, long time. I mean, probably 15 to 20 years before he came into my life. And so we've always had great youth programs of all sports, and And, you know, I understand, you know, you can really hurt a kid as a dad or as a coach. And for all those years that I coached youth sports before he was even born, I think it enabled him, when he did start playing youth sports, to be in good programs. And, you know, and we had things that I still don't believe a lot of people do what we did, and we still do. And I think he benefited big time from that. And for whatever reason, we've had a lot of kids that we've trained move on to big time stuff. You know, and how do you know they're going to do that when they're 9, 10, 11, and 12? But I think our system really helped them and point them in the right direction. Nobody can say about any young kid like that, you know, this guy's guaranteed to be something special. But I think just the way we ran our youth programs, it really helped the kids. And it helped the kids whether they were the top guys or the bottom guys. I take a lot of pride in what we did.
Yeah, and you guys were really on the cutting edge as far as grooming kids and prepping them to be better quarterbacks and skilled players. Did Taylor play
any
other
sports? But here's an example in baseball. I coached Little League baseball for 40 years. Last spring I did it again. But, you know, you get so many of these youth coaches, you know, some of them are just great, some of them aren't. Just like some parents are great, some aren't. And say, you know, it's just the way it is. But one thing, we disciplined by selling the kids on feeling good about themselves, and they all have a dream. They all want to be part of a group, not just the team, but just part of a group. And it's not a bad group; it's a good group. And we had kids that goofed around just like every other program in the country, but we had one thing that was a little bit different. We never got on kids hard and, you know, threatened them and all this stuff. I'm just making this up. Let's say we have 14 kids on an all-star team in Little League, and you know, we're having good practices, and one practice, two guys are just, you know, out of control. They're just being goofy too much. And what I would do is I'd just call the guys over and I'd say, okay, guys, this isn't your day. And so we're going to put you in the third base dugout, and we'll have a coach come in and sit down with you. And we're going to continue our practice. We still got an hour to go, and then we'll talk afterwards. And so to me, I didn't yell at him. I didn't cuss at him and any of that. We just said, you're being disruptive, so we're going to put you in the dugout, and we'll work with the other 12 kids. And when the practice was over, I'd get our 12 kids who were good guys today and the other two, bring them out. And in front of the other 12 guys, I'd say, you know, I really missed having you to practice today because this was an important – every practice is important to us. And you guys just had an off day here and showed a little bit of immaturity. And I hope you come back tomorrow because we need you guys. You're on our team. You guys, I'm going to do this with anybody. If you're out of line, we'll just have you sit and not practice. And we're not going to send you home or anything because your parents will be picking you up later. But I thought when we did that, we never had a problem with a kid again, ever. Because they get a little bit embarrassed in front of their peers.
That's a really good point. I'm sure hopefully coaches listening can take heed to what you're saying because that's a different alternative than you typically see. And I'm sure that left an impression on those young men.
Well, it did. And it's so funny because I just had breakfast with a kid I coached. And believe it or not, he's 50 years old. 50-some years old now, and so it was the first time I met his wife. He's in another state now and doing very well, but we were together for about 4 hours, and he came out here just to see me, and which I appreciated, but he talked to his wife about and me about the things like that, and we had so many things we did like that. And he said, you know, I was a good athlete and a good person when I was young, but he said, you know, I was a screwball, and he said I met my my whole life turned around when I got in one of Coach Barton's programs, and his was track and football, and he said, you know, he changed my life, and I think that's what I love so much about coaching is it's not an ego on me. It's I want to feel good about how we handle the kid, you know. It's because the rest of his life, he's going to be talking about his little league baseball coach or his Pop Warner football coach or his youth basketball coach or his high school coach, and they're either going to say it's going to be one of two things: I hated the guy, or I loved the guy.
Good point, Gray. And obviously, your son was right in your home and taking in all of the advice and letting it soak in. And he had an amazing career, prep career in Oregon, becoming the Gatorade Player of the Year his last year. Were you involved in his recruiting process as far as helping him make a decision, or did you kind of sit back and let him make that decision?
Well, Taylor started hang around all my programs. I've also coached college football. I've also coached you know, high school. And when I did all the youth programs, I think he started coming out when he was 2 years old and just hanging out at the football field, the basketball court, the baseball diamond. And so he got educated very well because we did things right, and the kids were class kids to everybody, and so he saw that. And he, as far as recruiting, no, my deal was with him, as I said, Taylor, I had my time in my life, and I did some things probably that if I had it all over again, I wouldn't do. But that's between me and myself. Now that you have a situation, I think you're going to be recruited. And if you ever have questions, you can ask me. But I'd much rather you do this on your own and along with your high school coaches. And if you do that, you'll someday say, hey, I messed up this, or I made a good choice here. And that's going to help you as you get into your adult years.
Great point. And Taylor went on to go and commit to the University of Colorado, and he was up there for a year under Rick Neuheisel. And then after Rick Neuheisel left, he had a short stint at junior college, San Francisco City College, and then went on to the University of Washington. Was it hard for you as a parent and a coach, probably one of his better coaches, to see him go through certain highs and lows, or to see maybe a coach not coaching him in the right manner?
I've never picked up the phone and called one of his coaches. I don't believe in that. Like there would be times he would call me and he was, you know, down on something or whatever, and I'd say, well, you know, that's what coaches are for. You go in and talk to them. And I've seen some of the greatest players in the history of the game, and you have too, that they didn't like a certain place for whatever reason. They transferred to another place, and it works. And sometimes it doesn't. But, you know, you get that chance, and I think it's all part of the growing up process. And you know, football or baseball isn't going to, as a player, isn't going to last your whole life. It's not going to happen. Now you could get in parts of the game, whether coaching or that type of thing, that like Dick LeBeau, you can be in there all your whole life. But I think, you know, the real thing that I feel bad about, he was actually later on he got sick and almost died, and you know, talking to the doctors, they said that this has been was going on for a long time, and so I don't think people really saw him well. You know, it's And, you know, he ended up having, probably 12, 14 major surgeries and all that stuff. And so, you know, those things happen, and those are things we can't have. All we can do is be there for your son or daughter, you know. And I have respect for every coach he's played for, whether he was an All-American or whether he was a backup. I'm proud that he's there, and he's got to figure things out. And I had daughters who played volleyball in college, and, you know, same with them. And as you know, there's a lot of girls get very, what's the word I'm looking for? There's a lot of drama, you know? Whenever things weren't going right, they would call me and talk to me, and I'd always say, hey, I love you, but, you know, you're going to have to figure this out. I'm always here for you. The first thing you have to do, whether you like a coach or not, you've got to go in, look them in the eye, and talk to them. And sometimes it'll work, and sometimes it'll get worse. But that's where you're at right now.
That's great advice, Greg, and I hope all you young players out there are listening, because a lot of you guys may be getting some tough breaks right now, but you have to face it head on. Go in there as a man, speak to the coach, always be courteous, and try to see if you can change your situation around. That's great advice, Greg. Did you always know that Taylor, or have the idea that Taylor would venture into kind of finishing what you started with the Barton Academy?
No, I didn't. I'll tell you what I was proud of. We're not a rich family and all that stuff. And one day, he had been working with me in the Barton football. He'd come back from college and work our camps and all that. And then after all his surgeries and all that, and he got back on his feet, and he was coaching at Oregon State. And under Mike Riley, who he just loved to death. Everyone loves him. And he came over to our house, and he sat down with my wife and I, and he said, you know, Dad, not that you're getting old, but you are getting old. And he said, I would like
that
to...
That sounds like a Taylor comment.
Oh, yeah. And he says, I'd like to buy from you guys the business you have. And he said, I've talked to some investors, and they're all for it. And so that's how he got in, and that's how we kind of slipped out. But I was proud of him because, again, just what you just said to the kids, I mean, you got to be accountable. And you always wonder when your son or daughter goes into business, are they going to be good? Are they going to fail, you know, like anybody else? And that night when he walked away, I told my wife, I said, he's going to be very successful. He will. He's going to be successful.
Wow.
And I think even getting sick and almost dying a couple times, it made him a stronger person. And so I'm one of these guys, I think you're getting the hang of it. I think, you know, we all have negativity. We all have problems. But, you know, there's a way to look at the positive in almost everything.
Definitely. And I'm actually, as we speak, looking over the list of Barton Football Academy alums, and, I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, everybody from Aaron Rodgers, Brad Smith, you've got Kellen Clemens on here, even skill guys, you know, like Safarian Jenkins, who just got drafted by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the tight end from Washington. What do you think it is, Greg, that really sets your camp and your academy apart from everyone else where all these kids are gravitating?
I don't know if we're apart from everyone else because there's some really good folks out there doing stuff. But I think truthfully, we love the kids. When I had it, I actually – love the kids. I mean, it's, again, I'm doing something I love doing, but I also just loved how kids would, you know, buy into what we're doing. And I'm on Facebook and I've got like 3,200 people on there, and I'll bet you I'll bet you at least 60% are kids we've coached.
Nice.
And, you know, now we're coaching their kids and their grandkids. So it's just a labor of love, I think. You know, we love what we do. Love the kids. Love the parents.
So you guys have really created a family with your business, and that is definitely great to hear. Before we've got roughly maybe another 4 or 5 minutes. You have so much experience, obviously, being a quarterback yourself and raising so many great quarterbacks, whether it's your own son or through your academy. In your mind, what makes a really good quarterback?
You know, take a look at Seattle's quarterback. That's what a quarterback is supposed to be. Yep, that's what he's supposed to be, right? Or, you know, he's not the biggest guy in the world, and the reason I say about the Wilson kid is he's not the biggest guy, but nothing stopped him. And so when I have parents say, well, you know, my son is not going to be very big, and I go, so what? What's that got to do with it? And I think Wilson, he's a class guy. He played different sports. He didn't just play football. He was a great baseball player, too. Good basketball player in high school. And he's a class act. He's a just a very polite young man. And he gets along with everybody. And he doesn't get his head up in the clouds about, you know, I'm in the NFL. He knows that he's been blessed. And he knows that what got him there is work ethic. He's one of the hardest workers around. And Aaron Rodgers, he lived here in Beaverton, Oregon, where I'm living, and so I've known him since he's been, you know, 6 years old, and I can tell you, if we had more time, a great story on him on recruiting. My gosh, everybody in the country missed on him, everybody, and I even. He came and met with me. He was down in Northern California. He came real quick. He came up and met with me. And I was in shock that nobody wanted him, not one school. And great kid, great athlete. And I said, okay, what do you do? What do you want to do? And he says, I'll go to Portland State. And I go, you're kidding. And I said, okay, I'll call the coach. So I called the coach. They came out to the stadium next to where we were. And they watched him throw after his senior year. And then they said, nope, we decide we're not going on him because we have five quarterbacks better than him. And I said, Coach, I've coached every one of your quarterbacks. They're great kids. They're not as good as this kid. So nobody ended up wanting him. So we put him in a JC. And then I get a call from a school that said, you know, are you did you have the tight end from the school in your camps? And I said, yeah. He said, what do you think? I said, great, I'd go on him for sure. And I said, now have you looked into the quarterback there? And he said, well, he's only a freshman, so we haven't, you know, paid much attention. I said, well, he wants to sign right now, and he's going to go to a smaller school. And I think it's a joke because I think he's one of the best kids in the country. And that's how Tedford got Aaron Rodgers.
Wow, that's a great story, Greg. And obviously,
but I mean,
we all know.
But that's why I don't like to have kids, you know, think they have it so bad. Because here's a guy that you know and I know, you know how good he is. And for whatever reason, and it's not me to judge. I don't know why all these schools passed on him because he was also a very good student. But guess what? It worked out for him, didn't it?
Oh, it worked out big time, and I'm sure that Portland State coach is kicking himself.
And he's a great guy. He's a great guy, and he's coaching another school now and doing very well. And, you know, it's just you know, you've been an athlete. You've been there. And,
yes.
You know, sometimes it's hard to understand things. But, you know, what my deal is, anyone listening out there is, you know, maybe, you know, big, first of all, big time is where you go. So if Aaron wouldn't have had that opportunity, he might have been at a smaller college. But guess what? He would have said, this is big time, because I would have told him that's the way it'd be, you know? And so it's not where you go to college. It's, you know, do you get that opportunity? And if it's a smaller college, that's big time. It's huge.
It's huge. It's huge. And I have one young man in my mind right now, and hopefully you are listening, Valentino Miles, because a bunch of talent, and I don't know why so many schools passed on this young man. He's a running back, but he's taking a trip. He's late. He's taking a trip to Pace University, a Division II school in New York tomorrow.
We've sent kids to that school, and you might tell them that our kids were very happy there.
That's great news, because he, I'll tell you, Greg, he is in my evaluations. I mean, he was San Francisco Player of the Year, rushed for over 1,000 yards a couple years up here at Laney College in Oakland. And no idea, great grade, same story, no idea why everybody's passing on him. So I hope you're listening tonight, Valentino. Wow, that is just so many great tidbits of knowledge for these kids, and I really appreciate your time, Greg.
Hey, my pleasure, and I appreciate what you're doing, and I think you're going to climb the ladder in this career you're in right now. You do a good job.
Thank you so much, sir. So, yes, if you guys want to check out the Barton Football Academy, go to www.bartontraining.com. Once again, the list of alums speak for themselves. The Bartons know what they're doing. They've been doing it for years, and it's not going to stop. They're going to keep on producing. So we appreciate your time, Greg, and you have a great evening, okay?
Well, thank you very much for allowing me to be on the radio, and I wish you guys the best.
Thank you so much. And please tell Taylor we said hello.
I will. Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye. So there you guys have it, another great show. This is somebody that not only played in the NFL himself, but he produced a son that played major Division I-A college football and has coached so many great quarterbacks and skill position players. I mean, that was an amazing story about Aaron Rodgers. And for all you kids that have been put on the back burner by schools or by your coaching staff, you're not the first. You're not the first. You have to go in there, talk to them, find a way to get to where you want to go. So hopefully you guys got something out of tonight's show. We've got another great show coming next week on Tuesday. Tell all your friends and family about Before You Go Pro Locker Room shows, because it's free content and there's no other content like it. For the rest of the BYGP crew, I am Coach Terrence Wood. For our director of content, Ashley Goodman, and we'll be signing off. Check us out at www.beforeyougopro.com. You can find all our social networking links. Check out our new book. It's a business book. It's a business of football, and it's really written for these young parents and kids that want to enter in this game of the football entertainment industry. There's a lot that you guys need to know, and it's all in the book. So once again, www.beforeyougopro.com. Hope to see you guys next week, and we were signing off and see you at the top. Have a good one.
You miss me? I miss all of y'all. All y'all girls standing together. I can't take it.